James chapter 3 this evening. James chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, well, probably more like a month ago now, I was reading the book of James, and I came across this passage, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I thought, you know, that's something I want to share sometime. And I've been looking for an opportunity, and the holidays, of course, didn't present a very good opportunity, so there was other things that needed to be addressed. But we're going to look at it tonight, James chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read. You follow along as I read, beginning with verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 12. Beginning with verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. As we think about this, what is the theme of this passage? Well, it doesn't take much to figure that out. It's talking about our tongue. And the verse that stuck out in my mind that I wanted to focus on tonight is verse number 2. One that we don't often focus on, but it's got some really good things in here. And I find here 4 realities that we need to face in order to address these in our lives. And so I want to point those out for us tonight. The first reality that we need to face and address is that all of us frequently stumble. It says there are many, for in many things we offend all. Now, as I worked in that verse and I looked up all the words and I saw what they mean. The word offend is an interesting word because it actually means to stumble. All right? It can mean to cause somebody to stumble, but in the context here, it primarily means to stumble ourselves. And that's why he's talking about our tongue. He says we stumble with our tongue. But there's many different ways in which we can stumble. And it literally means to trip, to err, to make a mistake, to sin. And we've all experienced those kind of things. You know, have you ever been walking along and suddenly you trip over something and the next thing you know you're flat on your face groaning? I mean, I think probably all of us have gone through that time or two in our life. And it's something that happens just instantly. You're not expecting it. You're walking along, everything's fine. Next thing you know, you trip and you're flat on your face. And that's the idea that he's using here as an illustration for us, that we trip, we stumble. And James is using this illustration to help us to see how it applies to our spiritual lives. And none of us is exempt. You know, we all trip regularly, and he's talking here not about physical tripping, but more of a spiritual thing, or in our Christian life, we trip. And when we trip physically, it's suddenly, unexpectedly. We're never prepared for that. I mean, I think of many times that I have tripped. You're walking along. Usually you're carrying something you can't see, and you're not watching where you're going. And next thing you know, you stub your foot on something, and bang, you're on your face. And it's unexpected, it's sudden, and the same is usually true with us spiritually. You know, things are going along fine, and all of a sudden something comes up, bang, just like that. You know, how many times has it ever been when you're having a good day, everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden something happens, or somebody says something, or somebody pulls out in front of you, or something happens, and just instantly you make a wrong reaction because we weren't prepared for it. And James is talking about those kind of instances. And we stumble many times. He says there are For in many things we offend all. Many things we offend all. When we trip, it's never a pleasant experience. And just as when we physically trip, we never look back at it and say, oh, that was fun. Let's try that again. No, we never like that. It's unpleasant. It's unenjoyable. And often it hurts. But so it is spiritually. You know, when we trip, maybe something we say with our mouths, maybe something we do, our reaction. And many times it hurts us spiritually. And sometimes it even hurts other people because we're not thinking. And we respond in a wrong way. And you think about some of the ways that we stumble. Well, often we stumble in our thoughts. You know, the devil is so cunning. You can have your mind on something completely good, and then all of a sudden you see something out of the corner of your eye that was lustful or something that was inappropriate. And just like that, your mind goes the wrong direction, and we have to pull it back. That's why one Bible teacher was just saying that's when we need to bounce our eyes. You know, you see something, you need to bounce them away. Just like a ball, when you bounce the ball, it hits the ground and it immediately goes the other direction. We've got to do the same thing. And we've got to do that regularly, especially us guys. It's a wicked old world we live in. And we've got to force ourselves to do right. But, you know, our thoughts are one of the areas that we often stumble. We also would often stumble in our actions. You know, we'll do something we shouldn't have done. We've responded in a wrong way. And some Christians even trip doctrinally. You know, that's sad. But you see people that for years they've believed straight, and all of a sudden they're believing something funny and weird and sometimes just plain wrong. And you think, how did that happen? You know, they've somehow tripped. And so these are some of the ways that we trip. But then James identifies the primary one that he's addressing here tonight, and that is we stumble in our word. And so that brings us to the second reality that we need to face, is that we often stumble in word. We often stumble in word. He says, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word. All right, so here he's talking about our word. And the tongue is often quick to trip. And yes, our thoughts trip and our actions trip, but more frequently it's our tongue. And I mean, I know in my life, probably the number one thing that gets me in trouble is my tongue. I'll say something without thinking or say something too rashly or quickly. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. I think, yeah, I've done that more than I want to admit. You comment on something before you had time to think about it, and then after you've thought about it, you think, why did I say that? That wasn't a very smart thing to say, or it might have been a harmful thing to say. I shouldn't have said that. So it's our tongue. It gets us into trouble so many times. And none of us is exempt to this. It's something we all struggle with. And as this happens, we need to remember that it happens quickly and unexpectedly, and we stumble and we say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes it's just somebody makes a comment to us, and it ignites a fuse in us. You know, maybe it's your spouse, and they say something that just, you're having a bad day anyway, and they make some kind of comment, and then just like that, we say something we shouldn't say. And our mouth gets us into trouble. And it happens most often when we're not watching our step. That's the way it is with walking. You know, if we're watching where we're physically going, we're not so likely to trip over obstacles that are in the way because we're watching our step. But those times when we fall in are times when we are not paying attention, generally. And you trip over something that's in the way, and you fall and sometimes hurt yourself or break things. And so it's an unpleasant time. And the same is true spiritually. You know, we get careless, and we're not watching and on guard, we're more likely to stumble, more likely to do or say or be something we shouldn't do or say or be. And God knows that our tongue is a big problem, and that's why he addresses this whole subject here, 12 verses. I mean, you think in the Bible, how many times does God spend many verses on one topic? Not all that many times. I mean, we've got 1 Corinthians 15. It's all about the resurrection. you know, you start thinking, there are some chapters that we would know as, oh yeah, that's the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. He speaks on tongues on 1 Corinthians 14. But here he's got 12 verses that are directly related to the tongue and helping us to see our problem with the tongue. And as he addresses this, he starts out even in the very first verse, and he says, my brethren, be not many masters. Now, the word master there means someone who's a leader, maybe a husband, a parent, a pastor, a teacher, someone who's leading others. He says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. You know, each of us in a leadership position, doesn't matter who we're leading, God's going to hold us accountable for it. And he says, the more leadership we have, the more accountability we have. And that is, and so as a result, James says, hey, don't be in a hurry to get in one of these positions because you have a lot of responsibility. The higher you get, the more responsibility you got and accountability you have to God. And so he warns us there. And then he goes on in the verse we're looking at here, verse 2, and he talks about how we offend all. And then as he continues on in verses 3 and 4, he talks about the smallness, but the powerfulness of the tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So, you know, that little bit, I've never been around horses very much, but when I was a young teen, I went to a Bible camp that had horses. And they taught us some basic things about horses and how to put the bridle in their mouth and that kind of thing, and you know, how to approach the horse and how to get on and how to keep from getting kicked and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we know that bridle is something that goes in their mouth, and it's a metal thing, and as you pull the reins, it's uncomfortable. And so they pay attention and do what you ask them to do because this is uncomfortable, so I'll obey you. And so that's just a little tiny thing, and that a huge horse, you can turn it about with just that little bit. You just, you know, tug on it a little bit, and he obeys, even though it's a small bit. And then he gives the illustration of the rudder, that little fin-like thing on the boat that turns the whole ship. And he says there, behold, the ships, which though they be so great, yet are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the governor is driving the ship. He turns that wheel, and the little rudder turns, and the boat obeys him, follows where he wants it to go. And even though that rudder's small, it turns that huge ship. And he likens this to our tongue. He says the bit is like our tongue. It controls what we do. And the rudder is like our tongue. It's small, but it's very significant. And so he's making that comparison there. And then 5 and 6... He likens it to a tiny spark that starts a huge fire. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, it's so sad when there's forest fires. And every forest fire started with one spark. Teeny tiny spark starts a whole forest fire. Thousands of hectares burned, homes lost, lives lost, all because of a spark. And so it is with our tongue. Just a little teeny tongue. Reminds me of I guess you'd call it an illustration, but it's a reality. If you've ever had a feather pillow, if that feather pillow breaks, and the feathers blow in the wind, they go everywhere. And to try to get them back, virtually impossible. Do I chase down all those feathers to get them back? And so it is with our tongue. Just a little word, and things get out, and it bursts into a great flame and causes great trouble and great problems and great heartache for many, many people. And so our tongue is like a fire. In verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Certainly the devil and all of his demons are behind all of our slips of tongue and our wrong use of our tongue. And if not directly, they were indirectly involved in it when Satan tempted Eve and got us into the whole mess. You know, I was pondering that as we just read through Genesis again this week. What was it like for Adam and Eve never to have sinned and had no inclination of sin? And the scriptures say there that they sinned, and God first question to Adam says, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat of that tree? And so God knew that if they ate of that tree in disobedience, that they would lose their innocence and they would become sinners and be able to know good and evil. And God later said, they now know good and evil like we know good and evil. But the difference is that God is eternally holy and sovereign, and thus unable to be affected by anything from the outside, including good and evil. And so God can know good and evil, and it doesn't affect him any. Whereas with us, good and evil, now that we know good and evil, we have a magnetic pull toward evil and a repulse toward good. A lot of things take place there. There's a great passage to ponder again as I went over that in Genesis 3. But back to our text here. The tongue can never be tamed. Verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, as a boy, I tamed a lot of animals. We'd tame our calves especially. Never succeeded to tame pigs. Stubborn little creatures. Probably didn't want to get that close to them anyway. But anyway, but you can train all kinds of things. And God says you can train these animals to do amazing things. But he says you're never going to train your tongue. You're never going to tame it. Now, I shouldn't use that word train and tame in the wrong context. You can tame an animal, but you can't tame your tongue. And when an animal is tamed, if they're truly tame, they will not hurt you. They will not turn on you. And, you know, I've had several dogs over the years, and I'm grateful for the dog we have now. She's tame. I don't have to worry when I meet another dog. I don't have to worry if whether she's going to attack. If that dog gets a little snappy, my dog's not going to retaliate. She's tame. The dog I had before her, I didn't trust her. Because she would defend herself quickly and sometimes be the aggressor. But this one's tame. So God tells us here, you can tame a lot of things, but you're never going to tame your tongue. There'll never be a time when we can say, I can fully trust my tongue. It'll always do right now. I trust it. It's because our heart drives our tongue, and our heart's got a lot of problems. So he says, you're never going to be able to tame your tongue. So that means we always have to be on guard to rule our tongue, because we cannot tame our tongue. But just a good reminder for us there. And as we think on that, he says that it needs to be governed, verses 9 to 12. There was blessed we God, even the Father, cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He's, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So he says, in nature, this doesn't happen. You're not going to go to a spring of water flowing from the ground, and one day it's salty and the next day it's sweet. It's not going to happen. It's always the same. And, you know, if nature does right, you know, the fig tree, I never have to wonder if our fig tree is going to have, you know, tomorrow, today's got beautiful figs on it. Maybe tomorrow they'll have apples. Or the next day, bananas. It's not going to happen. Because figs will produce figs. And he says, that's normal in nature, but that ought to be normal with our tongue, but it's not. God says we need to work at that. So he's given us these illustrations to help us to see these things. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. And again in Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. For keep it, guard it, protect our tongue, will keep our soul from trouble. Then the third reality that I find in this verse that we need to note here is that only perfect people never stumble. Back in verse number 2 again, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. No one is that perfect. No one can keep their tongue always doing right. And to be perfect is to be fully mature, to be lacking nothing, to be complete, to be blameless. That doesn't describe our tongue. And we ought to strive for perfection, yes. But we'll never reach it until we get to heaven. And that'll be a glorious day. I so look forward to just getting rid of our sin nature. That'll be wonderful. As James wrote in chapter 3 and verse 8, he said it can't be tamed. And it can't be trusted. And that is a reality, but it does not give us an excuse for not taming or training our tongue. We still have to keep it under control. And he says here, if you're able to control your tongue, you're a perfect man and able to bridle your whole body. That's interesting that he uses that bridle there. That bit that holds the horse going in the right direction. He said, if you're able to control your mouth and your words, then you're going to be able to control your entire body. And he makes that very clear that we can't do that. We cannot do that, and therefore we struggle. And the idea here is if we're controlling our whole body, that's our eyes, in our ears, in our mind, in our hands, in our feet, in our actions, in our words, we're controlling all of it. He said, if you can control your tongue, you can control all of those things. And therefore, let's face it, we can't control our tongue. And so you look at this and you think, well, that's what he's driving home. I cannot control my tongue. Everybody has a problem with their tongue. Nobody but a perfect man doesn't have a problem with his tongue. And this is an issue that each one of us struggle with. Now, if this exhortation ended right here with this verse, we'd walk away saying, well, we all have bad trouble with our tongue, so that's the way life is, so don't worry about it. Nothing I can do about it. But it doesn't end there. That's why you get the rest of the chapter, and you put all that together, and he goes on to show us that the tongue is a problem, and we need to govern it because you cannot tame it, and it ought not to have sweet water and bitter coming out of it at the same time. There ought not to be cursing and blessing out of it at the same time, and we need to deal with that. And that brings us to the fourth thought here that I see in this, and that is that we each have a duty to restrain our tongue. These things ought not to be, he says in verse number 10. All right, the blessing and cursing. He said it ought not to be that way. No Christian's mouth ought to bless and curse. And yet, sadly, many do. And, you know, even though when he talks about cursing here, not necessarily talking about blaspheming God's name. It's just, you know, sweet things coming out of our mouths, and the next time we open our mouths, it's mean things that are coming out of our mouths, unkind things. And we've all experienced that more than we want to admit. The content of the inside is what comes out in our words. So that's where the problem is. You know, you think about a spring of water deep down in the ground. It's flowing out because that's what is down in the ground. And so it is in our mouth. It's flowing out of our mouth because that's what's in our heart. And so we've got to deal with our hearts. That's where the issue stems, is back to our hearts. You know, there may be in our heart unconfessed sin. There may be bitterness. There may be unforgiveness. And all of these things are just waiting to explode, and then one cross word and bang, we open up and we say things we shouldn't say. And so we've got to get the things out of our heart in order for to keep them from exploding on the outside. And God warns us there in Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, hand in hand with what James is saying here. And he goes on, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So Paul here in Ephesians 4 tells us how to control our tongue. He says we need to get rid of the bitterness and the hate and the anger and the wrath and all those things inside of us that explode into the wrong use of our tongue. God also promises in Galatians 5:16 that if he says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking close to the Spirit of God, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And with God's help, we can rule our tongue. Proverbs 25:28, he that has no ruler of his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I don't know how many times that verse has convicted me. You know, if we cannot rule our spirit, rule how we respond to situations, God says we're like a city with no wall. It's broken down. The enemy can plunder us. There's no protection. And then, of course, James 4:7-10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God's saying, if we will humble ourselves and we'll depend on him, we can control our heart. So we need to remember that we all stumble, and we're not alone in this. I can confidently preach this because I know that you stumble just like I stumble, because God tells us here very clearly, there's not a person among us that doesn't stumble. And if you can, then you're perfect. You're able to bridle your whole body. You never do anything wrong because you can control your mouth. But because we all sin, we know that we cannot control our mouth. And God very clearly tells us that. So we have to constantly be working at that. But we dare not use it as an excuse that, I don't have to control it because everybody has a problem with it. No, that's not the answer either. And just as for the direction of a horse, it needs the bridle and the ship needs the rudder, so we need to bridle and rudder our tongue. There needs to be a bridle on it. We need to take that rudder of our spirit and let God's Holy Spirit guide us so that we say and do the right thing. And we dare not let our tongues loose. They are not to be trusted. It reminds me of when I was a boy, my grandfather had a bull in his barnyard. And that bull was mean. And he never let that bull loose. Never let it out to roam around, even in the paddock where people were, because he couldn't trust it. It was a mean bull. And the same is true with our tongue. Can't trust it. Never can let it out. Never let it go and let it do its own thing, because you can't trust it. And if we've been not controlling our tongue, we need to confess it and seek God's forgiveness, and seek the forgiveness of those who we've hurt with our tongue. And then depend on God to help us to bridle our tongue. To bridle our tongue.